by a person who is in charge of the corporation that owns many of the broadcast facilities that are responsible for bringing this information out.
Makes you wonder. I mean, you know, we're not supposed to be conspiracy theorists, but boy, there's all the makings of a major conspiracy here.
Well, you know, when you sit and you think about all of the statements that have been made in the KPFA situation over the course of the past 6 months or so as the situation has deteriorated, when you stop to think about the fact that at this moment, WBAI is the only Pacifica station that is currently broadcasting without a heavy layer of censorship over it, having literally been dismantled and put back together in, I guess, a quote-unquote more mainstream fashion, which I guess includes
booting
out.
Why didn't we get off our butts when 1995 when they gutted KPFT, the Houston station?
Yeah.
They gutted it. We knew they gutted it. We got reports that they gutted it, and yet we didn't get off our rumps and do a thing in 1995 and try and head this thing off. Why did we wait like some infected, impacted wisdom tooth too many years till the bone was destroyed underneath it and we had to operate?
Well, unfortunately, it seems like people only respond to a crisis situation that's in their backyard. It seems to me, and I guess it's certainly rightfully so, that the people in New York who are coming out to the SOS meetings, and by the way, SOS Save Our Station is having two more meetings. Next Monday is our subcommittee meetings that everybody is invited to attend to help to try to organize. But Wednesday, after the second local advisory board meeting on Tuesday, Wednesday night, again at 6:30, is another general Save Our Station meeting. Those are occurring at 25 St. Mark's Place on the, I believe it's the second floor of the building. You go up the stairs from the sidewalk and then go up another set of stairs. And
don't forget Fridays.
And don't forget the demonstrations Fridays at 5:30. Some people at the Save Our Station meeting today, when it was announced that it was 6:30, they were saying, that's too late, we get out of the city early on Friday. Well, come by at 5:30, right when you get off work. Because everybody that shows up at these demonstrations, the numbers count.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are thousands of people who are protesting out in Berkeley because the signal is off the air. The same thing when the arrests happened back in 1977 in New York.
Well, the signal isn't off the air.
Well, the station itself is off the air, and it's playing.
Last week we played it here, but we can't figure it out this time.
Yeah, well, and one of the other things that is very was very distressing is the situation with Democracy Now regarding this entire situation. Democracy Now, as everybody knows, was censored off the air last week.
Oh man, it's like, can you believe it?
And now this week, an affiliate up in upstate New York in the Finger Lakes region has actually just gone to dead air every morning because apparently Democracy Now! Is not making it out on the Pacifica Network national feed. And
well,
yet,
I went to the there hasn't been a nobody's posted a real audio archive of Democracy Now! On the net at WebActive since July 16th.
Uh-huh. And what's happened out in California is that tapes of Democracy Now! Have been played on KPFT, which is being now relayed by an ISDN line on KPFA. Tapes of Democracy Now! Have been played during times of producers out there in order to kind of, shall we say, drive a wedge between people who are used to hearing their own KPFA programming not hearing it on the air, and instead hearing Democracy Now!, making Democracy Now! Look like some sort of a stab program, which it is not. But this is how the playing of it from Los Angeles at KPFT
I spoke
has
to the
been
producers at Democracy Now!, and they heard it from the listeners. They couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's and
you know, imagine you're doing a program and you send it out on the satellite as you have for several years, expecting it to be played, and you start getting reports that it's been edited along the way.
Or there's just nothing there. I think that's really amazing.
And we're supposed to trust the motives of these congenial people like Mary Frances Berry and Lynn Chadwick, who are very wonderfully going to all of a sudden now give us our station back in
Berkeley? Well,
Randy
Steele, our guest here on Let Him Talk, I just got our latest engineering report. The KPFU-KU downlink is shut down at the California side. No signal being sent.
Wow.
So KPFA, they were playing tapes.
And we were playing them here last week.
And Muzak and things
right,
like that.
Elevator music. We had an elevator music guy and a jazzy music guy.
They are no longer broadcasting over the KU downlink.
Well, that's the feed on, that's the national feed, isn't it?
Right. That we can pick up here, and we could pick it up and listen right now, but
we can't get it.
Now, isn't that the feed where also that a Democracy Now! Then is fed out to the to the affiliate stations, the KU feed?
I think that's what they use. They
and that's why the affiliate stations aren't getting the program.
Could be. We have to look into this. We need an engineering engineer, one of the engineers here to call in with the details of how this process works.
Well, the big point I want to make right now is that what you have now is you have Mary Frances Berry and Lynn Chadwick. Since they're talking about taking out a loan against the value of the license or a mortgage against the value of the license in Berkeley to the tune of $5 million, that means that they have squandered $5 million of the hard-earned and hard-raised funds that have been contributed by the listener sponsors to the Pacifica station for these security guards, these highly priced and highly expensive.
Who are too... The listeners who Ms. Berry said are too troublesome in Berkeley and we should move to Palo Alto.
Yeah, Palo Alto.
We should all move to Palo Alto.
Isn't that right in the middle of Silicon Valley, very close to where Bill Gates and...
Known for docile listeners.
Known for its infamously docile listenership.
All of these yuppie scum live over in Palo Alto. Yeah,
we want to take some calls.
Yeah, we need to take some calls.
We need to take some calls. What we want to do is, for about 2 minutes, can you hang in there while we play a little bit of music and get set up here? We're going to take a few calls. We're going to bring in another guest on the air with us. Hopefully, if we can reach him from California, Diamond Dave from California and from Berkeley and San Francisco, and hopefully we can get a hold of him. And while we're doing that,
we'll
play some music. Call us up.
We want to talk to you. We want to know what you think.
212-209-2900. If you are calling, if you are listening on the internet out there somewhere, call in 212-209-2900. So we're going to play music. It's 2 minutes long, so don't go away.
What's that I hear now ringing in my ears? I've heard that sound before. What's that I hear now ringing in my ears? I hear it more and more. It's the sound of freedom calling, ringing up to the skies. It's the sound of the old ways of falling. You can hear it if you try. You can hear it if you try. Oh, what's that I see now shining in my eyes? I've seen that light before. Hey, what's that I see now shining in my eyes? I see it more and more. It's the light of freedom calling, shining up to the sky. It's the light of the old ways of falling. You can see it if you try. You can see it if you try. Hey, what's that I feel now beating in my heart? I felt that beat before. Hey, what's that I feel now beating in my heart? I feel it more and more. It's the rumble of freedom calling, climbing up to the skies. It's the rumble of the old ways of falling. You can feel it if you try. You can feel it if you try.
Sweet in the morning, oh Lord, it's sweet in the morning.
Sweet in the morning.
The Wake Up Call crew has instituted a new information line. On this hotline, you will find all of the names and numbers for events and issues that we discuss each morning over Wake Up Call. Now, copy this number, 212-209-2988. That's 212-209-2988. The Wake Up Call Information Hotline.
We're listening to the sounds of rage against the machine. My favorite poster from Pacifica, the whole battle, is a picture of a hippo with an international no sign over it, and it says, no hippocracy.
Remember the great concert we saw with Rage Against the Machine?
Oh, wow, what a great show that was from Mumia
so cool.
Abu-Jamal. And we have to get past all this internal internecine battling, save our station, and get back to work on the Mumia struggle and all the important struggles out there. In the meantime,
Mumia supports the workers at KPFA.
He sure did, and does. He spoke out and sent a taped message in support that was played in front of KPFA. A shame, a disgrace, a disgrace. This is Let 'Em Talk. I am Paul DiRienzo, Miss Joan Marie Moosey. On the line, we have Randy Steele, who is an expert on radio and who has been following these issues very, very closely, has very strong opinions, knows quite a bit about the technical and political and economic realities of the radio business.
And we got a lot of phone calls.
A lot of phone calls, 212-209-2900.
We want to talk to everybody.
So keep it short and direct. You're on the radio.
Hi, this is Bertha. Are you hearing me okay?
Yep, we hear you fine.
Okay, no echo?
No echo. Sounds good.
Okay. Three things I want to discuss. First is I sort of bought a premium, and I was kind of led to believe that it was like a specially compiled tape of Supreme Court.
We are not going to deal with any business along those lines. Those you have to call the main
number during the day. I'm not. It's not about business, but I have a question. It's an ethical question. I got the package, and apparently the price on it was $35 at any bookstore. I'm getting charged like seven times that I signed one of those things, you know, bill me every month type thing. And now the Pacific is doing this kind of shenanigans. I don't know if I want to support you know.
Well, KPFA is coming back on the air, and I think that right now is the time to be vigilant and not to pull back, but to keep involved and to keep engaged.
So you think that it wouldn't be a bad thing to continue to pay the premium?
I support that 100%. I think right now is the time for listeners to show their power, not to retreat and give that power over to the corporate takeovers.
You also might want to look into the issue of conversion. It's a technical term. It means when someone takes the assets of a nonprofit and converts them into monies. Hello?
Yeah.
Yes. We're listening.
Yeah.
Converts them into...
You know more than I do on this.
Some kind of, you know, if they get a piece of the action from any kind of sale or loan, or if any of their relatives or through a third party get a piece of the action, consultancy fee or whatever, from selling the a license or obtaining the loan or administering the loan or anything like that, or consultancy fees for PR or whatever, any kind of... That's conversion. That's kind of like a felony.
What about
if the
CIA gets it?
Well, in that case, you expose them. You're good at that. But that's not why I called, oddly enough. I think you should have, like, one, an animal rights show, and two, a mental health consumers/disability rights and housing issues show.
Right on, dear.
What?
Right on.
And I know a guy. His name is Fred Levine. And for the mental health consumer, not for the animal rights. For the animal rights, I don't know who to recommend, except I won't talk about doggies here. But for the mental health consumer, his guy's name's Fred Levine. And I wrote a proposal for this about a year before Samori died. And then I had a slight interview on the phone, but I didn't know who he was at the time. And I got confused, and I was like, put me through to the program director. And he kept saying, I am. And I didn't understand what he was saying because I couldn't understand his accent quite. And he seemed interested in it, but I haven't heard since. And I put a formal, nice, proposal, and we can get all kinds of, speakers, everything from policy politicians.
And persistence pays off. And I would say be persistent. That's all I got to show here is a lot of persistence. We're going to move on. Thank you
very
much.
Oh, wait, one last thing. Can everyone call Governor Pataki's office and, ask him to sign the bill that gives half fare cards to mentally ill people who only have Medicaid and not Medicare and therefore are the poorest?
Okay, we'll do that. Thank you very much. Okay,
right.
Good.
Bye, Bertha. Thanks for calling.
You're on the air.
I'm on the air.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Is this the unknown angry caller?
Hi there.
Yeah. I would like to say that one time a newspaper told that Frances Mary Berry was an admirer of the Soviet Union, cooling its system. I'll bet you she may have some KGB thugs doing her dirty work.
She doesn't need the KGB.
Maybe
she's
that's why she
CIA.
Yeah, maybe that's why she's calling her opponents fascist thugs.
And also, I like to dedicate a kick-ass song that will shock both Bill and Hillary, Frances Berry, and Rudy Giuliani's song. Get ready for the shock of your life.
All right. Well, we're putting that out to Mary Frances Berry and Company. Thank you so much. You're an unknown angry caller. You're on the radio.
Hey, Paul. It's Andrew. How are you?
Hey, Andrew. Hi. How you doing? Welcome.
All right.
Andrew Phillips, former program director here at WBAI.
Yeah, and sometime listener and been listening on the outskirts of this ongoing tragedy.
Have you heard
really?
The reports that we read at the beginning of the program?
Yes, I was turned in from the top. I thought that the work that BAI's been doing about this at last, you know, people are really, I mean, you've been talking about it a lot for some months, this issue, and finally some of the more accessible producers seem to be also, and that's very healthy and good. I think that the kind of discussion that's ongoing in your program needs to, however, be taken to, like, the quote-unquote mainstream audiences. I mean, just three things. Firstly, this $5 million collateral mortgage, whatever, loan situation, I mean, that to me is an absolute setup. I mean, it's obvious that the network can't afford to pay the money. And to ask to ask the listeners to pay it is just
I don't think they will, right? Yeah.
Huh?
I don't think they will pay it. I think the listeners would be furious.
No, of course. And I think that's the point. And so de facto the station gets sold.
Right.
That's what that's about.
Yeah, back
let's get
right
that
into
clear
a corner.
Right up front.
Yeah.
That's what that's about. So that's okay. I don't know why the guy should have said that, because it's obvious. And the whole question of now where does all the money come from to support this institution, that's a diabolical situation, because the woman that just called, on one hand, of course she shouldn't pay these fascist thugs who are locked up this station the way they have. And in paying these overpriced premiums, something that you know I've talked about for a long time, and as a coda to this, always suggested that Pacifica could have and still could. The power of the organisation has been in the archives. It is in the programming and the distribution of the programming, not just over the air broadcasting, not just over the net, but with the book connections, the tapes, the tie-ins, to authentically distribute information which is so badly needed by the public and inaccessible and impossible to get in these faraway places in the Finger Lakes where democracy...
How do these careerist money-making attitudes creep into
I think in a sense there should be, quote-unquote, a careerist money-making attitude to make money, to get some money into the system, not to overbill the subscribers with these ridiculous premium prices.
In other words, no real business would do any of these.
Use the internet to sell the programming, to go beyond the radio, to enter the information age, and understand that this is a wonderful, powerful, international institution which had a lot to do with what's currently happening in Indonesia, is heavily tied into Africa. People listen from the United Nations. It's not just about Mary Frances Berry. She should be out. The same with the Quisling from the former NFCB. Out. No compromise. The leading producers of Pacifica should hold their own teaching on the air. You should take the airwaves back. The listeners will support you. Gary Knoll should be there. Trish should be there. Bernard should be there. Bernstein should be there. Bensky should be there. All of the people who hold power and sway and pay these people's salaries should take the fucking thing over and put it where it should be, and the listeners will support them, and so will the press. The problem is that then the board's lost control, the FCC comes in, and the whole thing can go up in flames. It's going up in flames anyway.
My proposal is that we have a constitutional convention, that we have to have the board... Mary Frances Berry and Lynn Chadwick must all tender their resignation.
Absolutely.
There must be a convention of listeners. That convention of listeners must draw up a new code of behavior, a new organizational structure, and bylaws for this institution that reflects the realities of the 21st century.
Absolutely.
And we should always realize that no matter what the structure...
And acknowledges the importance and the archival value of the Pacifica Archives, which has been left, I hope, in a compost heap so it improves, but unfortunately tape doesn't work that way. It disintegrates. I know that from my own archives, which is essentially disintegrated on quarter inch, because that's what happens. This stuff
isn't
being tended to properly. All the work, the great producers who created Pacifica with the listener support, not Mary Frances Berry, not that NFCB Quisling, these were the people that created. This is our history. This is our history. Che Guevara, great musicians, Bob Dylan first played with Fass at BAI. It's all there. Nobody hears it. People would like to get it on CDs. There's a gold mine there.
I agree.
These
it's an asset.
These idiots don't understand the value of the producers, the value of the information. That's Pacifica.
We were hanging out with Bob Fass yesterday at his house in Staten Island, and he is literally living... On
the
top
archives.
Of, yes, he's living in his archives. And to take Bob's archives and turn them into the gold mine that they are.
I agree. This is an additional asset. I mean, besides the license, this is an asset that's real, that's very concrete.
And what's coming out of this also, through the demonstrations and through the courageous, outspoken statement of that board member.
Bramson.
Yes, it is a new sense of cohesiveness, perhaps. I mean, there is a sense of respect from quote, like the mainstream media out in San Francisco and mainstream institutions, who, despite their differences with some of the politics on Pacifica, and surely they have them, ultimately, however, recognize the quality of this action by the board, the national board, and the value of the station to the community. It's very, very interesting, and I think that Randy, who I think you should point out with all due respects, runs a shortwave radio and is a radio visionary. A radio
Randy,
visionary
still with
in the spirit of Milo, of Lorenzo Milam. He is a great, great radio visionary.
I did, however, resign from that radio station, so I'd point that out, so I don't have any conflict in any of the comments I'm making.
Right. Well, I've always had great respect. I don't know you that well, Randy, but when I heard about you, met you once, I understood. I mean, you were around WBAI when the crisis happened there back in 77. I think you were involved in engineering back then.
Actually, I was the archiver of that takeover. I didn't have anything to do with the takeover at the time.
But you certainly, okay, so you've been around this a long time, so your perspective was very clear and very cogent and needs to be heard, and it will be no doubt on the internet, and Derry Enzo, in the next minute, it's probably already gone out, and people will hear it. I'll go now, but it's fantastic, and I totally support the staff, of course, and your word, it is disgusting, Paul, it is disgusting.
It's truly a disgrace. See the pictures of riot police.
You've got to go one way or the other. You've got to go all. The producers have to go all out. All out. Gloves off.
They have to realize. I think Dennis mentioned to me on the phone the other day. You know, people have to realize at BAI that it's just a flick of a switch, and we're off.
And there's a lot of inconsistencies. We all know them. Now isn't the time to talk about them within the Pacific, within each of the station systems too. Money and accountability. Who gets what? All of that stuff. The lack of money that goes to the production end of the station, the lack of training that exists in the institution. Well,
that I couldn't understand. There was training. They have a wonderful training program, it turns out, at KPFA, where they have actual regular classes that are graduated of people who are trained and licensed through KPFA.
Well, they do, except to my taste, it's too formalistic. I mean, the apprenticeship way of...
The apprenticeship, right.
Yeah, working, getting onto the air as quick as you can. Like, this idea of... You learn from being on the air. You learn from being on the street. You learn the basics of the mechanics, and then you learn the art of radio. WBAI still has the art of radio. Frances Berry doesn't understand that. These people are not broadcasters. Chadwick's not a broadcaster. She's a bureaucrat around the NFCB into the ground over the years. And Pacifica was very much involved with that also, you should know. I mean, this is history. I mean, there's a pattern here, a through line that's taken to this point. Your comments that, why didn't we do something back in 95? Well taken. I couldn't take it anymore. I left in 93 because I saw the inconsistencies. I felt I was in a losing organization that I could not have any influence on. I was kind of forced out because of my own. I left, but there was nowhere for me to turn. I mean, I was able to encourage a morning show at BAI. I was very supportive of Amy's work. I felt like I did.
I love the way they take credit for that all the time.
Progress.
Mary Frances Berry is constantly taking credit for having established Democracy Now. And
well, we go back to the Contragate days with Dennis Bernstein. Look, I can remember you said Diamond Dave was on the phone.
We're trying to get in touch with them.
Diamond Dave
trouble.
Was on the Great Peace March. I remember reporting with that. I think you were involved yourself, Dennis Bernstein, before cell phones were really very popular. We walked across the Washington Bridge with cell phones. Dennis had one. Robert Knight, I think, was in the studio or something. I mean, there's a wonderful tradition of this sort of democratic populist radio, testing the medium, playing with the idea of radio, broadcasting across the country, using the telephone lines. Keep it at that place. That is the wonderful, raw, original power of Pacifica, and that's why I listen. I listen for that. And I just urge you to go all out, Paul.
All right.
Go all out, man.
We're going to open it up.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye, Andrew.
Bye, Andrew.
Bye-bye.
And we're going to go. Our number is 212-209-2900.
Paul.
Yes.
Let me just point out in all of the discussions of WBAI's politics or Pacifica's politics and these internal factors that Pacifica is so hesitant to have discussed on the air, under any sort of a staff situation at a radio station, as long as the management theoretically either approves of it or has given its graces to whatever is going on, there is no reason for any concern that the FCC is going to charge a licensee with being out of control, as long as the technical aspects are met, as long as someone during the daytime hours is not engaged in gratuitous obscenity or violating any other FCC rules. There's absolutely no problem with radio stations just on the premises discussing their own internal politics. As a matter of fact, one of the big comments from these so-called reformists in Pacifica has been, well, we want to broaden our audience. Anybody that's ever worked in radio, commercial or non-commercial, knows that an audience responds to a radio station much more, and people tune in who don't normally listen when a radio station is discussing any of its own conflicts. Some commercial stations even kind of stage little feuds between their staff just to spike their ratings. And I'm not suggesting for a moment
that this is what's going on. Although that was the first thing that crossed my mind.
But airing the dirty laundry is definitely, you know, a tried and true procedure in getting things right in radio, and that's been one of the recurring problems with WBAI since 1977, is this gag rule, which originally was necessary because there was an awful lot of razzing from one staff member to another, taking personal issues to the air.